All right, let's do Joshua chapter 5, and I think we left off at verse 13. And it came to pass. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Yeah. It came to pass. It did. It came to pass. It finally came to pass. Does that sound encouraging?
Yes.
God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, notice that he's alone, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Now, I want to use Joshua now, not as Jesus, but as a leader. You're all, you know, we have many leaders here, and many of you will be leaders in the future. And there are things here that are very important to that pertain to the Lord and to his work in you and then his work through you. Now, his work through you depends on his ability to work in you. Okay? I mean, you can be a pastor or whatever of any kind of church out there and not have the proper work done in you. The Lord knows what you need. I don't know all you need. But that's why we go to the scriptures and we find things like this. And so this is Joshua, and he's gone alone, and he's gone to check out Jericho, because that's going to be, remember, this is the launching pad for everything that's going to happen to take the land. This is the big deal here. God hasn't even talked a whole lot about when you possess the land per se, but there is that. So there's this preparation was for the first step, Jericho, and then it's going to be for the rest of their lives, the things that are coming up. And so Joshua was a man of war. I mean, he was the leader of the armies. And so he's gone out to check out the fortifications that are there and to see what he can find out militarily or strategically. And while he's there, he runs into this man. The scriptures, you know, just say that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man. And there's two things that I noticed about that. Was that the man's sword was drawn and in his hand. And the other thing was that the scripture says that he was over against him. Right? So you're looking at that and it's two negative things. You know, it's not like, yeah. Oh, this is good. And the guy with the sword didn't put it up and run hug him. And so he says, you know, are you for us? Are you for our adversaries? Well, I mean, I don't know what this guy looked like, but it sounds like he sounded a little formidable. Because Josh was going, are you for us? Or, you know, I'm hoping you're going to be on our side. Okay. And it's clear from the sound of his voice and the things that he says and maybe his body language that he wasn't particularly for Israel. In fact, how does he say that? Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And so verse 14, and he said, this is the man with the sword drawn, nay. But, okay, so let's just consider nay, but. Those are two negatives. You know, it's not like he's like, yes, oh boy. You know, this is nay, but. And that's all you got to say to somebody that'll put you on the defensive if you don't know where they stand. you know. And he says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I got chills. Not from that. As captain of the Lord of hosts, I have now come. They haven't taken any land in any ground in the land yet. Joshua has led them all the way through. You remember when they were fighting the Amalekites? The Amalekites. Joshua's down there in the valley fighting them, but Moses is up there on top of the mountain with Aaron and Hur. Or was it Hur? Anyway, he's up there with Aaron and Hur holding up his arms, and as long as his arms stayed up, they won. But Joshua's leading, he's the point of the spear. Some of you understand that term. The point of the spear. And so all of a sudden this guy shows up and he says, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I come now? Am I come now? I've come now. How many of you think that's significant that he says now? See? If the Lord speaks to you or shows up and he says, da-da-da-da-da, now, then you need to go, I got to listen because this is right now. I don't have time to meditate on this or go home and pray. I need to start moving with what I'm hearing right now. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So this man begins with those two words, two negatives. I'm not for Israel. And I'm not for Israel's enemies. But he's for the Lord only. He's only for the Lord. Well, this is good. This is really good. You can side with the people you love the most, your family or friends or whatever. You can side with them. You can side against people that are enemies to you. But there's only one person, one being, one side, as it were, that you need to be on. Because the ones you love or the ones that are, you know, your friends or whatever may be all of that. But the Lord may need to deal with them, and you need to be on his side to let him deal with them instead of protecting them with your sword.
That's right. Amen.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
Now, maybe some of you haven't dealt with that yet, but some of you have. And you have to be on the Lord's side. And that's being on your loved one's side.
Amen.
It is. But if you're not, if you're protecting them, you will not be much of a leader. I'm serious. If you're just protecting them, then you're protecting them against the Lord. And you may be protecting them against his sword. And his sword has purpose to it. And we have to give him full leverage. So I wrote this. This is a change from how things were in Egypt and in the wilderness journeys. Heretofore, God had been for Israel against his enemies. Right? I mean, he did. He took down all the enemies that came up. But now, it's time to grow up, Joshua. It's time to grow up. It's time to not just hear teachings or this or that. I realize, you know, I really do. I realize it's hard to apply some of these things when you're not in it. Because when you're really in it, it hits you. You go, oh, I mean, you can, sometimes you hear it and you go, oh, I've messed up in that realm. Sometimes you hear it and you go, yes, Lord. Sometimes you hear it and you go, you've been dealing with me on that. Do it, Lord. But if you're not in it, I understand. It can just, you know, it doesn't have any strength at all. But I guarantee if you get in a situation later when you're in a leadership of some kind and God wants to deal with your church, your loved ones, your husband or wife, your this or that, you need to be on the Lord's side. You do not need to be jumping on their side when it's when the choice is between the Lord and them. Who are you going to pick? No, Ghostbusters. No, you're going to pick the Lord's side for their good. For their good. So this is hard to see him go through this. Trust me, I understand. This is hard. Some of us have gone through that with our children. It's just hard to see them go through this. And you gotta give them to the Lord. You gotta entrust them to the Lord. That's just an example. There are so many examples of this. So it's different now because the Lord had always been on your side against your enemies. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he says, whose side are you on when he's dealing with you? When he's dealing with you, whose side are you on? Your own or his? And we say, I don't know. He's got a sword in his hand. I'm thinking. Don't rush me. But honestly, get down the road. You're not going to be worth anything until you can say, I'm on your side. Swing, Levi, swing. Some of you know the meaning of that. God said at a certain time after the Mount Sinai, he'd come down and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And the tribe of Levi said, we will. And he says, every man strap your sword on and go through the host. Yeah, that's right. And swing, Levi, swing. We go, but this is the people you saved to get out of Egypt. Just do what I'm telling you. You know, we don't understand. We don't, you know, but there is a, that's what, if he's saying that to you, he's saying, he's saying, who is on the Lord's side to your being? Your heart and your spirit says, we are on the Lord's side. Then he's going to say, well, y'all go through and cut out all flesh. Swing away. Swing away. There are, folks, there are people that they like themselves too much. Got real quiet, didn't it? I think those people are in here. You know, because it's, you know, but if you're going to go for the Lord, man, if you can't do it in you, then you got no business trying to do it in somebody else. Amen. Lord, I want you to deal with any part of me that you want to deal with. Amen. Or how about this? I'm being honest. How about this? Lord, I don't know if I'm quite ready for that. I'm asking you to deal with everything up to that, and I believe maybe I'll be more ready, but I want to be ready, and I'm not making an excuse out of this. I just, you know. And he says, it's okay. We'll make an appointment for...
Right now.
Yeah. Okay, time's up. No, but, you know, he might go... 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. You know, he knows that. You know, there's another thing that happens with us, and that is somebody's preaching something and we're really being moved by that and everything, and maybe it's his a dealing with some portion of your flesh, and so you go, oh God, I want you to deal with this, deal with it. And a week later, you haven't dealt with it. Oh Lord, deal with it. Fine. I mean, I had this happen to me. You know, oh Lord, deal with it, you know. And he goes, look, I'm not ready to deal with that. You're not ready. Stop praying over that. Start praying over this. Because I'm ready and you're ready for this. But we, you know, I know it could sound funny, but it can be a religious thing that we jump on everything that, you know, we just say, Lord, you know, I've done this for years and years and years and years. When it comes to this kind of stuff, it's like I have a table between me and God, and I spread out everything I can. I spread it all out and say, what do you want to touch? You put your finger on it and we'll go. It really works for me. I know that sounds crazy. It really, really, really works for me. Just put your finger on it and we'll go. You know, I don't know. You know, and I go, I think you're going to da da da, and then his hand's over here. Oh, right? And you say, okay, let's go. Or we say, you know, I really need that fixed because I'm fixing to be a situation in a week and I need that done. And he goes, no, I'm dealing with this right now. Who is on the Lord's side? You say, I am. I am. That's not an ethereal thing. Yes, I am on the Lord's side. You have to be on the Lord's side when it's not easy to be on the Lord's side. Against you, against your loved ones, against Israel, if you will, the Israel of God. So the man with the sword, now he is against anything that does not have its priority to being after what the Lord is after. The Lord of hosts is now, this is where he's at. He's against anything that does not have what's the Lord's priority, what the Lord is after. I'm on that side all the time, whether the priority changes at the moment or whatever. That I don't see. Well, if I could just have more structure, Lord. The structure is the Lord. You have to find the structure of the heart of the Lord. That's the structure. You know, well, I don't like to be rushed. Well, you shouldn't drag your feet then. Can I do this? Shouldn't drag your feet then. Stay up. Walk with the Lord. Didn't it say Noah did that? He walked with God? Didn't it say Enoch walked with God? Just keep pace with him. It takes a while to get that pace because you got some big legs, long legs. You know, you get with him. You say, I want to meet with you stride for stride. And I want, and if you turn, I want to. Have you ever seen butterflies in the spring, and they go like this, and they just move, and you go, how can they move? It's not like the one of them go, oops, you know. It's like amazing. They just, you know, and they go all around and everything, but they're just like a ballet or something. You go, how do you know the movements the other one's going to make? Well, for butterflies, I guess it's in them. For us, we have to be geniuses. No, it's got to be in us. These are things important to pray for. These are things to keep before the Lord. We all can use this. So this man is the captain of just such a people that want only what the Lord wants. What is that saying? Israel, you need to evaluate your priorities. Everything's changed. Now it's about the land, God's land. Now it's about the follow through with him, God's instructions. It's no longer about wandering. Well, let's go this way because it doesn't matter. Or I say this matters, but it doesn't because you're just wandering in the wilderness. Right? Joshua fell to the earth as if this man's words slew him. Oh my God, you're the captain, the Lord of hosts. You're not on our side or the enemy's side. I have always been on our side. I never perceived that I shouldn't be not on our side. but on the Lord's side. You know, it never occurred to me. Whoosh, swing, Levi. Plop down, down. Up to this time, Joshua had been head of the army, and it was his methods they used for fighting. Did you get that? Up to this time, Joshua had been head of the army. Remember, we're just using Joshua now, not as Jesus, but the leader. He had been head. Well, I'm the pastor. I can do anything I want. Really? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. You're an under-shepherd. There's a great shepherd, and that great shepherd's so great, he'll lead you to the altar. Up to this time, Joshua had been head of the army, and it was his methods they used for fighting. And God comes in, and I've seen this. I have seen this, and some of you that have been around me for years have watched our fellowship change. Man, you get stuck on what worked. This is what worked for the first 7 years. This is what worked. So we're going to do it this way forever because it's, you know, it works. And then God starts changing things up and we go, well, you know, why are we leaving that? I mean, we're used to that. There is no why or we're used to it. You go with him. You have to go with him. And it's the best thing, either for individuals or for the group, that you stay with him, and it reforms, it moves into another direction and feel and everything about it. And if you're not flexible, God's going to be gone before too long. No, it's the truth. I don't know how long I've been in the ministry, but I'm 70, and let's see, I was 23, 22 when I graduated from Bible school. And got immediately put into a situation in a foreign land where I was pastor of three churches, I can't even remember anymore. Two churches and prison and all kind of stuff. It was a lot. Just a young guy straight out of Bible school. I don't know what's going on. He said, but I do. Oh yeah, it seemed really hard until you said that. But see, that's being with him. I'm with you. You know, this is my flock. This is my Lord. This is my life. This is forever. I don't know about you guys. Good luck. Follow me while I follow Christ. Will that work at all? You know. But I'm following him. And that's where my heart is, and that's where my dedication is. So Joshua, now he was not only replaced, but lay on the earth as one slain. It's a difference between being replaced and slain. I can see the man with the sword. I got some news for you. You're not in charge anymore, and you're dead.
That's news. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Can you serve me being dead?
Amen. That's it.
Yeah. You're not in charge anymore. Your methods, your direction. I have a great sense of direction. Not any good anymore. The deal is, can you hear from God? Can you be with him? Can you love him? Any slight difference in his breath touches you somehow because you begin to know him and you realize, you know, This means we're about to rise up, or this means we're about to move, or whatever. I mean, it's, should we not be pursuing the Lord more than anything else? And love that more than anything else. And love him more. You know, I know pastors who love being a pastor. I know pastors who hate being a pastor. I'm not talking about Deb, no. I'm talking about Ben. No. Deb pointed to me and said you. Because I don't love being a pastor. I tell you what, it's tough. It is. And it's always, there's always a problem or something. There's always this or that. I'm, you know, if I'm a pastor, it's only because of the life of the Lord. Really. Because that's the only thing that can keep me together. Really. So, as long as it's him, I'm okay. You know, but I step outside of those bounds. And when I do, it's like, ah, scary out there. There's sheep out there. Those scary sheep. I remember one time, y'all probably remember this, when I said, I feel like I'm shepherding a flock of wolves. Do you remember me saying that? No offense to y'all, of course. Yeah. That's what it was. Bunch of howlers at the moon, my God. But the wolf's supposed to lay down with the lamb. Amen. And when they don't, the shepherd lays down with the lamb. And I've done it time and time and time again. Life comes out of death if we believe that, and it's him and it's his spirit. And I'm doing it in that spirit. That's the best chance then, if they're not going to do it, of resurrection coming forth, the life of Christ in it. So, you know, it's the old draw the line. Jesus says, who'll die with me? You know, some of you have heard this, not all of you have. But over the years, there have been many a time I've stood there waiting for somebody in the fellowship to step over the line. I go, okay, I'm here, you know. And after about 15 times, I don't even look around anymore. Even if there's other people stepping over, I don't even look around anymore. I just go, I'm up the bat. I'm ready. Well, it's going to be death and loss, and you know, people are going to think bad of you and this and that and that. Look at Jesus on the cross. Look what he went through. Look what his life will go through in us. Why? How can I claim his life and believe that it's his life, but I don't want to go through anything like that? Rejection. Mm-hmm. I'm not rejection. Well, I mean, I haven't been an orphan, you know. Just recently I saw my older brother. He'd even come to Texas, and we were talking about, you know, the rejection and all these things that we felt. And Deb brought up the fact that, you know, when I was in the orphanage, my mom and stepfather and youngest brother and sister, they would come and we would have a good day. We'd get to go out and have a picnic at the park, but then they'd bring us back to the orphanage. And that's when my mother would kneel down and she would hug me and say, I love you, and then get up and walk off. And so I started equating someone saying they love me with they're going to be gone. Don't say. I used to say, don't say you love me. I didn't want to hear it because it was like, because you're just going to walk off, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, it'd be great if my mom said, I love you, you know. But it was always at the end. And it's like, I couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle someone saying that because it just threw me into a dither. I don't know why. But, you know, those things that happening in you when you're just a little boy. Well, Jesus can say he loves me all he wants. The Father can say he loves me all he wants. That's fine. Because he's not talking to me. He's talking to the life. He loves his son, and I love his son, and I want him to get his son, and it's not about me being loved.
That's right.
Is that okay?
Yes.
I mean, it was freeing for somebody like me who went through what it was actually freeing when they said, It's not about you, and you're dead, but Christ can live in you. And when the Father hugs you, he's really hugging his Son, but you get a hug too.
Amen.
No, actually, nobody said that. I said that. That was how I perceived it. And I said, this is great. This is great. And it's still great to me. It's just like, good, I'm dead. Is that too weird for you?
No.
Some of you looking like, are we done yet? Joshua was not only replaced, but lay on the earth as one slain. He called the man with the sword Lord, and now he is only a servant. Did you see the wording of it? Where'd it go? What saith my Lord unto his servant? But he did worship and said unto him, he fell on his face and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord to his servant? Whoa. Where is that?
14.
I'm looking right here. Now he's against, this man is the captain of the Lord's host. Up to this time, Joshua had been head of the army, and now it was his methods in fighting. Now he was not only replaced, but lay on the earth as one slain. He called the man Lord, and now he is only a servant. Joshua, my Lord, Joshua has been promoted from captain to servant.
Wow.
Yes. Orientation, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And he's not going, no, no. The people won't respect me. They'll be warriors and I'm servant. I don't want to be low. And the Lord would say, you're about as low as they come if you said all that stuff. He has been promoted from captain to servant. For Joshua, this mortal wounding, as if he slew him, and new status has not been rejected, but brought forth worship from his lips. I worship you for this. See, why does position and status and all that, why is it so important? I understand it's important to the world. I do. But I understand that there are these crazy people like Joshua that's willing to throw it to the wind and say, I'm going after you, Lord. I want you. It's crazy. And people will look at you as crazy and people will go, or they'll say, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. Or your mind will say, don't do it. And your spirit will say, shut up.
That's right.
I mean, it's true. It really is, isn't it? Any of you guys ever experienced that before? I got two right here. And they're young. So we ought to have experienced it many times before. I told Chris, I said, we've all experienced the weirdness of going from nominal church beliefs and ways to Christ and him crucified and going, your head's going, yeah. I don't understand this teaching at all, but my spirit's going, yay!
Yeah.
And you're going, how do I ever get these to match up? It's called get a renewed mind.
Amen.
But it's something we all have had to go through.
Amen. Amen.
So Joshua 5:15 now, verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. The new captain tells Joshua to loosen his shoes from his feet, strictly because the place where he stood was holy ground. The captain you know, I wonder if we can always recognize holy ground. I mean, we need to get better at it. We need to learn to recognize what God, the captain, says is holy ground. Because we may just say, well, you know, yeah, that was real good or something. You know, we don't have to understand everything, but we need to get the spirit. See, the captain, the man with the sword, didn't tell Joshua that you need to understand everything that I'm telling you. Right now, you need to realize that this is holy ground. This isn't a takeover. This, you know, somebody taking over, and you know, this isn't just a good service. What we're doing here, this is the captain of the host talking to the man who had been the captain, the man that Moses stepped down and gave this to and said, you'll be the one to lead them in, needs to find out what holy ground is and stop playing around with the holy stuff. I don't care how good you can swing a sword.
That's right.
Just kidding. But I don't care how good you can swing a sword, preach the word. We need to be able to get low and recognize when we're in the midst of it and be ready to be on our face and get our boots off. It's interesting wording here because according to the previous verse, Joshua is no longer physically standing. The new captain must be referring to his spiritual stance as far as how he was relating to the new change of status. For the place wherein thou standest, he fell to his face before this. You got to admit that. It says that. He's on his face. And the captain of the host of the Lord says to Joshua, the place wherein thou standest. We also have to learn to hear. Or we'd just read through this, or if we were in that situation, we would hear him say it and not really understand where he's coming from. Or even if there was some sort of a inconsistency in, well, I'm already down here, so how are you saying I'm standing? We might not even notice the two differences there. I mean, this whole thing is a process of, it's not a process of us getting better or smarter or more, it's not even a process of us getting more spiritual. It's a process of, I don't know how to, pressing into the Lord, bleeding into the Lord. I don't even know how to put the right words. Where you, do you remember what Ruth said to Naomi? Does anybody remember it well enough to quote it?
Entreat me not to leave thee.
Cleave, you, where you go, I go. Your God will be my God. What else? Your people will be my people. You're buried, I'm buried. Woohoo! That's called good news. Called good news. That's what your goal is. Your goal isn't to become some sort of spiritual giant. Please don't go that direction. Please, please, please. We don't want to be spiritual giants that walk through the land of the puny. You know? I know the Lord and you don't. For I have wisdom from above and thou art stupid. Like Jedetut. How many sessions? Five sessions Jedetut's name's been in.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah. He's a wiry rascal. So, I don't know. Now, I've never met the guy, actually. Or have I? Okay, so the new captain must be referring to his spiritual stance as far as how he was relating to the new change of status. The new captain commends Joshua in his discovery that the lowest place on earth is actually holy ground in the eyes of the Lord. Orientation. Our orientation is off as Christians. It is off. We think higher is better, and God thinks lower is better. So, that was a great little sentence there. The Lord gave all of this here. The new captain commends Joshua in his discovery that the lowest place on earth is actually holy ground in the eyes of God. That he's standing spiritually in the spirit of that holy ground. He fell on his face immediately. He didn't get high. He didn't draw his sword and get into a sword fight. He fell on his face. And the captain of the Lord's host says, the place where you're standing, spiritually, in this lowly place, is holy ground. Your spirit is standing on the holy ground of lowliness. By the Lamb. Not as an attribute all by itself. Amen? Yeah. But by the Lamb. But is that amazing? Yeah. Have you ever looked at the holy ground situation like that?
No.
Praise God. Holy ground in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to read it again. Can I? The new captain commends Joshua in his discovery that the lowest place on earth is actually holy ground in the eyes of God. All right. So I'm going to address the doubters. If it was an actual reference to the dirt, holy ground. If it was an actual reference to the dirt where these two figures were, there were no memorials erected and no future mentioned of how holy that physical place was. Can you kind of agree with that? I mean, I had to think through this because all of a sudden I realized he's talking about the place where you stand and he's laying there on his face. I'm going, something doesn't jive here. I need to know what this is because it seems out of balance. Something's not balanced, but it wasn't. I was out of balance. I couldn't see because I'm too much looking at the material realities when God is looking at the spiritual realities. Amen. Almost done here, actually. I'm going to read that one again also. If it was an actual reference to the dirt where these two figures were, there were no memorials erected. And you know that they just erected a bunch with 12 stones. Yeah, 12 stones. And no future mention of how holy that physical place was. because it wasn't the physical place. It was the holy ground of falling on your face and standing there and it being in the Lord's eyes, in God's eyes. That's holy. Now that's holy ground. But if it is referring to the holy ground Joshua just entered into spiritually, meaning, because see, it's not just that he fell down. It's not just that he fell down on the ground. It's that he fell down and he said, what was it? My Lord, Joshua fell on his face and did worship. He fell down on his face, he worshiped and said, what saith my Lord to your servant? And God's going, man, this is real holy ground, because we got a lot of the stuff working here. We got four separate things that are working here. And he's perceiving it. God is perceiving it as holy ground. So, I'll read that one again because I don't think I finished the sentence. But if it is referring to the holy ground Joshua just entered into spiritually, that ground will continue to exist and be considered holy by and inside of Joshua. I'll read it again. Mainly for this side. But if it is referring to the holy ground Joshua just entered into spiritually, that ground will continue to exist and be considered by Joshua and inside of Joshua. It'll be holy ground forever. And he'll recognize it as holy ground. In other words, he did then, but what if that was just an event? We have events. We go through physical time events, and then it just is an event that passes, and we refer back to it. And we say, oh, remember when that happened to me? You know? But this will be holy ground that he carries with him forever, and he'll know how to enact that holy ground. You know, it's like the Jews. When they get ready to pray, they face the east, and they put down a mat, and they bow down, and there's a certain bow down, and they bow down, and they bow down, and they pray towards Jerusalem. This is the real holy mat.
This is the real one.
It's the real one.
Amen.
The real one, where instead of facing Jerusalem or facing east, they're just on their face. They're not facing east, they're on their face. And they're saying, I am your servant and I'm glad to be it. And you're the Lord, and I worship you in my lowliness. I worship you in your beauty, in your greatness. And the Lord says, this is holy ground wherein you stand. Because you're like the priests in the Jordan, holding up the Ark of the Covenant, and the place you stand, God's going, those 12 stones under those guys, we got to break them out of there, and we got to bring them over into the resurrection side. They are in death. And the priests stood firm in that death and in that lowliness. In the nature of Christ. Stood firm in it. And that's exactly what Joshua is going to do. This is just the beginning for Joshua. You do realize that just shortly before this, Moses checked out. It wasn't that long before this. Moses had been running everything. This is a good start for a young leader. because he's putting himself right in line, right in line. And he will have learned from the Lord speaking to him and saying, that's holy ground right there in which you stand. That's amazing. And can you imagine the Lord being amazed over it? We always go, God goes, that's holy ground, sucker. You need to figure this out. No. The Lord's going, you are on your face and you're worshiping and you're taking the lower seat when you've been the leader the whole, as far as over the armies the whole time. And he says, take your shoes off, because this is holy ground where you stand. What if he's doing that with you and I? What if when he saw that spirit, he saw the spirit of the Lamb, he saw the spirit of his son, he saw the selfless one, he saw the self-giving one to the nth degree, obedient unto death even. And every time he saw it, what if in his heart the Father said, that's holy ground that you're standing in. That's really holy ground. But what if every time he looked at the times when we said, no, I can do this job better than you. Don't be pushing in on my territory. Your territory? And you're working in the ministry? I thought it all belonged to God. I thought we were doing this for him. Lay it down, give it if necessary. Lose. Orientation. Lose that they might gain and bless them, even while they're cursing you. I bless you. I love you. I'm dying for you. I mean, in a sense, couldn't you say that? I'm dying to this, and I give it to you with all my heart. And the Father's going, that there's holy ground. I don't think he talks like a Texan, but he did tell us to reckon. So it's got to be, he's a little Texan anyway. I don't guess you can be a little Texan, can you? If nothing else, the boots will make you taller. All right, almost done here. Actually, this is the last sentence. The picture immediately moves from this thing to God going, giving instructions to Joshua. God is now giving the instructions. We're going to take Joshua. We're going to do it this way. Every place is going to be different. Every place we go to. Because I want it to be different. This is God's figure. I want it to be different because in each place you will learn to trust in me, to hear from me, to be in tune with me. So this one we're going to march around. We ain't going to march around everything and shout on the seventh time around. Blow trumpets. We're going to use different things every time so that you always come back to me and you say, what are we going to do now, Lord? Because I'm just serving you. I'm just serving you in this way. So after all of this is over, God starts giving him all the instructions for the first big push, which is huge. The first big push. When you take that land, you know that there's a sense we can take it all then. And you take Jericho and what do you come away with? Rahab. Rahab the harlot. The least in the whole town. I mean, I'm not even sure. Is it in the genealogy also that it just, yeah. In Matthew, this is the genealogy of Christ, and it's talking about Ruth, who's a Moabitess, who the law said, do not, yeah, join with Moabites to the 10th generation. And this is early on. And Rahab is a harlot in the city. And yet she puts the red cord out and says, I'm with you guys. And they said, okay. And is in the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus's. And there's women in that genealogy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, there is. Well, there's most genealogy. Oh, we're only going to put the men because they're important because we're from Texas. No. No, but that, you know, I mean, there are women in there. And of course, it gives men who think that way more fodder because, you know, it's a Moabitess and Rahab the harlot. And I'm trying to think of who else.
Tamar.
Oh, man. You know, so we're going, you know, well, what are they doing in there? They ain't got no right.
Well,
Bathsheba. No right according to the law. You know who Bathsheba is, right? The one who took a bath?
Yes.
Not according to the law. But according to the heart of God, if you got holy ground working in you, because they were lowly, they were lowly. There was no reason to accept them except that the Lord saw something in them that would, can I put it this way, bring forth Christ in the genealogy. Remember we talked about the genealogy, in the genealogy. Part of that which together brought forth Christ. Pull them out, the genealogy is broken, and where does it go from there? Right? It's a space-time conundrum. Where does it go from there? They're absolutely necessary. Christ is not going to be brought forth if you pull them out. They're just as important as any other member. If we're going to get Christ, they're just as important as every other member. We need them. We need to quit looking down on them. But to look down on them is to get off of holy ground. That's the important thing. See, again, it's not, we shouldn't be squabbling among ourselves, but we do it because we're not on right ground with God. We're off somewhere in ourselves. We're still too high. We're still too proud. We still got too much going for us. We still think that, you know, the whole world is waiting for me. Yeah. The Lord is waiting for you. Reckon yourself dead with Christ crucified. Oh, yeah, I really am waiting for you, buddy. Get up there with Jesus, you know. That's where I want you. And then that, just that last little bit of that sentence, the picture immediately moves from this scene to God giving instruction to Joshua, who is now God, God, Almighty God, giving instructions to Joshua, who is now least of all. And he'll be the one to bring them victory throughout the land. And and check it out in the Judges. It says, as you know, when Joshua was in charge, it says the Lord was with them all the time. But a change came when they got to Judges. Okay, so let's put Joshua here in this picture. Let's put him here as Jesus, now that we've looked at it that way. Jesus made himself least of all. He made himself low, lower than the angels. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He became obedient, obedient unto death. And he led Israel in to take the land that God wanted. And all the time that Joshua, Jesus, was the captain of the host through lowliness through this Spirit of the Lamb. As long as that was the case, then they had the victory. But as soon as he died, it seemed like the Lord wasn't with him anymore, and then they kept having to get the Lord back. It was like he was gone, and then they'd mess up, and then y'all know the story of Judges, don't you? I mean, it's up and down, kind of like your lives. But anyway, it's up and, you know, up and down. I'm really with the Lord, and then it's down, and then now, oh, Lord, help me, and then it's up, and then, you know, just stay down and let the Lord be all. Yeah. I mean, down in the right spirit. Not down because you keep messing up and sinning and, you know, in your flesh trying to do it all and all that kind of stuff. Just do like Joshua. Just do like that. Okay, you're the Lord and I'm the servant. What do you want? Okay. And when he gave him the instructions, I guarantee that the instructions were nothing like Joshua had been preparing all that time as the captain of the army of Israel. Gave it all up. You're the captain of the Lord of hosts. Well, what do we say? Do we pray? Do we? Come on. Why don't you get up here and. Anybody need any mints?
Let's do a final prayer, and then after that we'll have Randy pray for the young adults who are leaving. He'll be gone before you guys probably wake up, so him and Debbie. So I thought he could cover you and pray for you before we dismiss this session. But Lord, we're just ending this time now. And Father, we fail for words. This has been holy ground just because of the manner in which you have released your heart to sown your spirit, the living word, your son into us. And Father, there's so much seed in us because of your deep desire for Christ in this generation, the release, the surging rains and the breaking foundations, the power of the release, Father, that we have experienced testifies one thing to us. You love your son and you want him in us. You want him in us. Lord, the depth that your heart broke when he wasn't there and there was no hope of him being there for the mixture. Lord, we see that heart of yours opening the same way it broke, but now opening with a passion to sew him back in. And Lord, you put the seed now, you put it in the ground. What kind of ground, Lord, is the question now? What kind of ground? Matthew 13, what kind of ground? Will the enemy come and steal it immediately? Will the cares of this world just carry us away from what you've released into us? Will thorns and things just take it out? Father, that's a real question we leave with. For Father, what's sown in us now, we want to bring forth. To be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth and the heavens and the under the earth and all the heavens of the heavens with the fullness of your Son, Lord Jesus. From the journey through the ark to the wonder, Father, of new life, to the lowliness in the Spirit of the Lamb in real ways and not preaching and teaching, but in release through death, his Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, you stirred us, you filled us. As we leave, we ask that you would now begin to ruminate on these seeds. begin to bring forth Christ out of these seeds. May this not be the end. Oh God, forgive us for even thinking about it as an end. What happened was a seed went in the ground, so now it begins. Now it begins. Now it begins. What kind of ground? For now it begins. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for overshadowing these seeds until Christ come forth. Thank you for the work that we cannot do that you were sent to do in us. So, Lord, we cultivate that ground of our heart. We open. We set our faith and we stand firm and we remove from ourselves and we go after it with a heart full of thankfulness and anticipation, Lord. Father, we thank you. Cover each one, Lord, in the seed sown. Cover Randy and Debbie in the sacrifice poured out like a drink offering into our cups. We give you all the glory, Jesus. This is your life. It's you. We give you all the glory, Father, and all the glory, Holy Spirit. We bless you. We thank you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.